It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off today. She'll be back with me next week. Today on the show, we're hearing from the three Democratic candidates running to become the state's next attorney general. They face off at a primary election next week. The winner goes on to face Republican Brad Schimmel, who doesn't face a primary opponent on the Republican side. Before the news, we talked to Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ. Later in the program, we'll hear from Wisconsin State Representative John Richards. With us in the studio now is Ishmael Ozan. He's the Dane County District Attorney. He joins us here in our Madison studio. Ishmael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as always, we'll start with the basics. Why are you running for Attorney General?
You know, I love this state. I'm a sixth-generation Wisconsinite. We can trace Ozan's back to 1842. My grandpa taught high school here in Wisconsin and high school in Colorado. And in Colorado, he organized the teachers union there. On his way back to Wisconsin, he helped organize the retail clerks union. And when he got back here, he headed the school for workers and wrote books on Wisconsin labor history. My father was also a teacher, and my mother just retired from the Madison Metropolitan School District after 30-plus years of teaching. But she was also one of the first female welders at Kuffer Ironworks here in Madison. That's now the Goodman Center. And in 1964... she was the youngest member of SNCC, going throughout Mississippi, registering people to vote, risking her life, and searching for the three civil rights workers who died the first day of Freedom Summer. So my family has taught me a lot about the importance of justice, the power of the law, the importance of family and community, and the value of being a public servant, which I've been my entire career. And that's why I'm here running for state's attorney general, to serve the citizens of the state of Wisconsin.
And tell us a little more about your background in law and politics and why it sets you up for this run for attorney general.
Well, I've been a frontline prosecutor for 14 years in the second largest county in our state here in Dane County. I'm also the only one that has experience running the day-to-day operations of a statewide agency, and not only any statewide agency, the largest one we have, the Department of Corrections, that had 10,000 employees and an operating budget of $1.2 billion. And now I'm Dane County District Attorney, working with law enforcement, not just to be tough on crime, but to be smart on crime.
Before we dig into particular issues, can you define the general role that you think the Attorney General should play in Wisconsin?
Well, public safety is job number one, working with law enforcement to face some of the toughest challenges we have, heroin and opiate addiction, increased severity with domestic violence, internet predators, human trafficking, and child abuse and neglect. These are things that I deal with on a daily basis, working closely with law enforcement here in Dane County. But the Attorney General must do more. The Attorney General must make sure that women have the ability to make their own health care decisions, must stop voter suppression, must vigorously enforce our environmental laws, protect our clean air and clean water, and protect our consumers and our seniors.
Let's talk about your involvement in Act 10. In 2011, you filed an open meetings lawsuit against legislative leaders over the way they passed that budget repair bill. Why did you feel it was important to pursue that case?
Well, access and notice are essential to our form of government. They're essential to our way of life. And some have tried to paint that as being a partisan attack. And I just say that they don't understand what it was about. It was about defending the access of citizens to access their own government. It was about making sure those who write the laws are actually accountable to those laws.
So looking at the three Democratic candidates, I've said already on the show that some people might look and say, generic Democrat, so we'll come out of this and run against the Republican. How do you distinguish yourself from Susan Happ and John Richards in this primary race?
It's leadership and experience. My experience is second to none. Obviously, there's no one in the race that has the history or experience running a statewide agency, Democrat or Republican. I am running the second largest county's district attorney's office here in Dane County. And we know what has happened the last two times Democrats have put up candidates for attorney general that have not had prosecutorial experience. I believe the citizens of the state of Wisconsin expect and deserve their attorney general to be a frontline prosecutor. And I have been for 14 years, trying hundreds of cases from first-time drunk driving to first-degree intentional homicide and everything in between.
We talked to Susan Happ about combating the heroin epidemic. That was on your list of public safety issues. We've heard a lot about heroin and opioid addiction in Wisconsin over the last year. How would you, as Attorney General, try to help get this problem under control?
Well, the reality is this. We're not going to prosecute ourselves out of this heroin epidemic. And the reason is we truly don't understand how big it is at this point, because people are being introduced to heroin, or actually opiates, through legitimate means. Through prescriptions for sports injuries, car accidents, pain management from their physicians. And because of that, we don't truly understand how big of a problem we may have. That said, when we do prosecute people, many times we're prosecuting them for reckless homicide, for having a part in the death of somebody due to an overdose. And many times that is somebody's best friend or longtime companion that has died. And that is the person we are then prosecuting. And so we need to realize that heroin is ripping our families and our communities apart from the inside out. And so when we start talking about what it's going to take to combat this, we're going to need education. We're going to need to try and get to the root cause of what's bringing people to the system, to the criminal justice system. And if that is addiction, we should treat that in a meaningful way if we can.
Are there things you can do as the Attorney General to work with local law enforcement to help make those things a reality?
Well, actually, yes. There has been an expansion of drug courts, which is an alternative court. And the alternative courts in the criminal justice system are our best model for treatment in the criminal justice system. You're seeing veterans courts, OWI courts, drug courts. We just revamped our drug court here in Dane County, which we've had for 20 plus years, and we historically have been a pre-conviction model. Historically, throughout the state, most drug courts have been a post-conviction model. We have added a post-conviction component here. I've also added in our diversion program a counselor specific to opiate-addicted offenders, and that counselor is also working on a risk assessment tool specific to opiate-addicted offenders, which likely is the first one in the state and possibly the nation, and we hope to be able to share that with others so that they can use a risk assessment tool when it comes to these offenders.
Turning to another public safety problem that unfortunately Wisconsin is known for, drunk driving. In the past, you said you're in support of criminalizing first-time drunk driving offenses. Talk about that, and how would you handle the additional strain that might put on the Justice Department and the court system?
Well, you know, we are the only state in the nation that doesn't have a first-time offense, drunk driving, as being criminal. And yes, last year, I believe we had 16,000 plus OWI firsts. There was actually more because obviously if you create a serious injury or death, you're not charged with technically an OWI first. You're charged with homicide by intoxicated use. Those still, 60% of those cases with great bodily injury or death are first-time offenders. And we just had a sentencing for one of those out of an accident that happened, or not an accident, but an incident that happened in Sun Prairie. When we are talking about what's going to happen if we make the first-time offense criminal, I think people will look at it differently. I don't believe we'll have 16,000 incidents in the state of Wisconsin. I think that number will drastically drop because people will take it more seriously. There are two conscious decisions before someone drives intoxicated. The first is to drink or to take the intoxicant. The second then is to get behind the wheel of a car. And we know that it is so dangerous that it's like firing a loaded gun into a crowd. You may not hit anybody, but if you do, you're almost certain to cause great bodily harm or death. And I think we're seeing a culture shift in Wisconsin where people are tired of losing lives senselessly on our roads.
Moving to another issue that's been in the news a lot this summer, federal judge Barbara Crabb ruled that Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban, the constitutional amendment, was in fact unconstitutional. The current Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing that ruling. As Attorney General, how would you proceed?
Well, I believe the court has ruled. We need to make sure that we aren't sponsoring state-sponsored discrimination. It's not too long in our country's history that my marriage may have been considered illegal. And why would I want to do that to anyone else?
But as Attorney General, the legislature passed this. The voters voted for it. Isn't it your job to enforce what has been voted in and fight it out to the logical conclusion?
If there is a good faith legal basis to do so, yes. And I'll give you an example. We, in our not too far distant future, are past, we had 6,000 inmates at the height of the time we had people contracted for incarceration outside of our state. That is a practice that does not foster stronger communities, stronger families, or a safer environment for us in the public. I don't agree with it. I don't think we should do it. That said, the state has an ability and a right to contract for those services. So I would, as Attorney General, have to defend that practice, as Governor Jim Doyle had to when he was Attorney General. But there has to be a good faith legal basis, and I think that's where you start. The nice thing about our system is we're not like the federal system where the Attorney General is tucked under the executive. The Attorney General here stands alone and is answerable only to the people. And you are not required to argue against yourself, argue against your opinion if you say you gave an opinion. You aren't forced to take the opposite position. Now, the governor or the other branches of government have the ability to hire special counsel in that event that you as Attorney General make the determination, if it was me, that there is no good faith legal basis to defend the ban on marriage.
We're talking with Democratic Attorney General candidate Ishmael Ozan, and you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for the candidate? Are you wondering where he stands on a particular issue? Call 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Democratic Attorney General candidate Ishmael Ozan. He's one of three Democratic candidates running in next week's primary election for the office. If you've got a question for him or are wondering where he stands on a particular issue, call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to your calls now with Stephen in Janesville starting us off. Stephen, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Sure can. What's your question?
My question is what your guest's opinion is on recent states have passed legislation such as Colorado and Washington on legalizing cannabis, or some people call it marijuana. What his opinion would on that is, if the people in Wisconsin voted for something like that, would he be opposed to it? Would he be for it? Or I guess if he's got something in the middle, I just kind of want to know what his opinion is on it.
Thanks for the call, Stephen. What do you think about marijuana legalization?
Well, I think that's a legislative issue, and I would hope that the legislature takes it up. I can say this. You have Colorado and Washington that are moving down that road, and so there is an ability for us to watch what happens. But what law enforcement is dealing with in our communities right now, boots on the ground, is more armed home invasions, armed robberies, and murders related to marijuana trafficking. And that is a public safety issue for us right now. But that is a legislative issue, and I would recommend that you contact your legislators, and hopefully they will take up the issue.
Thanks for the call. We'll go down to Greg with us in West Bend. Greg, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
My question for Ishmael is, what is your position on voter ID?
Well, I think that is a solution looking for a problem. I'm the Dane County District Attorney, and we are in the second largest county. I can tell you the issues that we see with voting, and that every one of the 71 elected district attorneys handle around the state when they come up, do not amount to something that would call into question any of our elections. And I think we need to be very, very careful whenever we put a hurdle in front of people exercising their most essential right to vote. I mean, we need to realize people have given their lives. People have risked their lives. People have been beaten into within inches of their life just so that people could have the opportunity to vote. And we should always make sure that we are not putting other hurdles in front of that most essential right to vote.
The state Supreme Court has ruled that the voter ID law passes constitutional muster. Still at play in the federal court, though. As Attorney General, do you defend the voter ID law in that federal court?
Well, I think Judge Adelman has ruled so far in that case, and I think that right now that's a correct ruling.
So would you, if it proceeds up and then you take over the job, do you continue defending the law as the current Attorney General is?
No, I don't believe that there is an issue with our elections and the integrity. I think that the ramification, the real-life issue with the voter ID law is that it disenfranchises I believe close to 300,000 possible Wisconsinites who may not have an ID, and that is unacceptable.
Thanks for the call, Greg. We'll go to Ron in Milwaukee now. Ron, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, we also have another huge problem in this state, and I don't want to diminish it by calling it a problem, but that is the incarceration of young and adult African-American males. And we are known as probably the worst in the country for per capita incarceration of these males. Would you do something, and what would you do, to stop the prejudicial or discriminatory arrests, court system, and the incarceration of this population?
That's a very good question, and that's a question I get, I think, at every stop I've made getting all over this state. And the reality is, yes, Wisconsin's being known for being the best for being the worst at this point in time for racial disparities as well as opportunities for children of color. We cannot fix this problem from the back forward. And I've seen the system from the front at the local level and at the state level, all the way to the back. We need to start talking about what brings someone to the system. And let me just say this. If you commit a serious crime or a violent offense, you need to go to prison. That said, if we can get to the root cause of what brings someone to the system, whether it be mental health or addiction, we should do so in a meaningful way. So in Dane County, we've increased our diversion counselors from 5 to 7, one specifically for opiate-addicted offenders, one for intentional physical abuse of children. We are creating a youthful offender court for 17 to 25-year-olds so that law enforcement can refer straight to the community court. If they successfully complete, there is no entry into the criminal justice system. There is no entry onto CCAP. There is nothing to follow that young person into their adult years or for the rest of their lives. We are also addressing our violent offenders here in Dane County, and we are notifying them. We are partnering with the City of Madison Police Department and other local and federal law enforcement officers, and we're telling our violent offenders no more violent offenses. If you commit another violent offense, we will prosecute you to the fullest. We will ask for the maximum penalty. That is not the power of the program, though. The power is that we have just as many community providers standing with us saying no more violence. But we're here to help connect you to resources, whether it be stable housing, employment, mental health counseling. So the community is actually being proactive along with law enforcement to focus resources on those who have a history of victimizing us and helping them rehabilitate themselves and stay out of the system. So, yes, we need to start talking about who is coming into the system if we are going to get a handle on this and strengthen our communities and actually make ourselves safer.
Ron, thanks. One more call for Ishmael Ozan, candidate for Attorney General. We have Lauren in Eau Claire. Lauren, hi.
Hi. My question is actually kind of along the lines of in the same area as the last caller. I'm calling about privatizing of prisons, the privatization of prisons that's happening in some areas of the country, as well as the privatization of Department of Corrections. Wondering what the candidate's stance on that would be, and also if he has seen any movement like that in Wisconsin.
Lauren, thanks.
Well, I believe it's currently illegal for private prisons to operate in Wisconsin. Obviously, there were contracts with some of the private prison providers when we did house people out of state. Those contracts are no longer because we do not house inmates out of state at this point in time. I don't believe that those institutions make us safer. I think that the Department of Corrections, at least in the state of Wisconsin, when I was deputy secretary, had a track record of increasing GEDs or high school diplomas and increasing education opportunities for those that we had in custody. And we need to do that along with having real opportunities to reconnect people to the community when they get off of supervision or out of the institution.
Briefly, can you leave us with a final message to voters for next Tuesday?
You know, the one certainty that we have in this race right now is that the Republican is coming at us with 23 years of experience from one of our larger counties. And we need to put our best foot forward. We need to put someone with adequate leadership and experience. This position is far too important for us to have someone learning as they go. I am the only one in this race with experience running the day-to-day operations of a statewide agency, 14 years of frontline prosecutorial experience, and a proven track record of standing up for all the citizens of the state of Wisconsin and our shared values. I believe I'm the best candidate to win in November, and that's why I'm asking for people's support and their vote on August 12th. Thank you. And early if they'd like to vote prior to then, because we still can do that in this state.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Ishmael Ozan. He's the Dane County District Attorney. He's one of three Democratic candidates in the primary election for Attorney General.